Blog Talk Radio.
By him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. Thank God that we are able to be here just another day to look into none other than the infallible Word of God, knowing that the flower fadeth and the grass withereth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So thank God for his word, that we're able to get into his word one more time. So we thank God for this vehicle that we have called Blog Talk Radio, the blessing to be able to carry out the commission like the Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And like he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 20 in Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So thank God that we know what the name of the Lord is, what the name of the Father is, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. So it's a blessing to know that. And so he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature in Mark 16 and 15. And he goes on, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, that shall speak with new tongues. They take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, and he said in St. Luke 24, and thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we know he told them to go tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power from on high. So the same writer, Luke, picks it up in the book of Acts, the first chapter. And he said, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And verse 6 in the first chapter, he said, not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth. He had said this. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. So nobody else could do that but the Lord himself. So we thank God for his word. Thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Twitter followers, and all of our Facebook followers and listeners. So it's good to be here. And so I just want to start off on the day. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and also I have my co-host and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain, who is also our historian. And I don't want to forget today is to give out the call-in number, because I put it up in the episode, but I just want to make sure, because some people click on the link on Facebook, they don't see the number. So should you desire to call in, if you want to join in on the conversation, you have a question or a comment, you are welcome. So that number is 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. So we thank God for you all. So all of our many listeners, and you can click on the link. Like I said, they're in Facebook, they're on Twitter, and also our Blog Talk friends and followers. So we thank God. I believe this is either our sixth or seventh week that we have been doing the Godhead. We know you can't exhaust the word of the Lord. And so the Godhead is simply the God who is the head of all things. Many don't understand the oneness. There is no such thing as a triune God, as they use that terminology, or the Trinity. There is no such thing in the Hebrew canon of no mention of the Trinity. That foolishness came out of the Catholic Church. So thank God we know that he's one, his name is one. So at this time on the day, we're going to continue with some more enlightenment on the Godhead, and this time we'll be coming out of the book of Isaiah. And so, and then incidentally, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah no more in the Bible. So thank God for his word. So that's why you got to seek ye out of the book of the law. None shall make her mate. You know, and he said, and also in Isaiah, I'm God and there's none else. I am God. There's none like me. Isaiah 46 and 10, declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times, things not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. So at this time, we're going to move on in the word of the Lord, and we're going to bring we're going to be both in the conversation, but he is the historian, and that is Elder Ryan Fountain. We're going to be coming, try to give you some understanding and some enlightenment out of the book of Isaiah, and we're continuing, like I said, on the subject, the Godhead.
Amen. Elder Praise Fountain. The Lord, everybody. Glad to be here once again. That might possibly could be the last week for a while for my coming. I do have another engagement that I will be held up for the next little while, next couple months about. So I am glad to be here on tonight to talk about the Godhead. This is, again, one of my favorite subjects to talk about in the Bible, to know the revelation of who Jesus is, who Jesus Christ is, and what Jesus Christ did as a spirit and as a man, and how that spirit that was inside of him works, the work that has been worked. Before we pick up with the book of Isaiah, I did want to discuss one thing. I ran into a brother that asked a question about one of my comments last week. I spoke of God being one spirit manifested in three different ways. And he asked about the word manifestation or manifest, and wanted me to discuss further what I was referring to when I said manifest. And I want to talk about that word just for a few minutes. The word manifest, when it speaks of the Bible, it means to reveal, to shine forth, to be brought forth. That is the main definition of the word. It is a almost exclusively used in the New Testament. There is one appearance of that word in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. But it's almost all used in the New Testament. And the brother asked me if we can use that term manifest when it comes to the Godhead, because he felt that Jesus Christ only manifested in flesh, but he did not manifest in the spirit. And so that there's the possibility of confusion by us using the term manifest. Does that denote the possibility of a trinity? Or could we be inferring a trinity by ignorance or by accident? And so I told him I'd go to the scriptures and I would discuss it on today. So this is what I'm going to do. Starting out in St. John, the 14th chapter, is in the 21st verse, it says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Now, this is Jesus Christ the man speaking right now. If you have a red letter Bible at home, this is the words of Jesus himself to his disciples, the 11. Judas Iscariot has been cast off, he has been filled with the devil and has left the house at this point in time. So this is in between the time of the last, what we call the Last Supper, and going into the Garden of Gethsemane.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Maybe we might back up a little bit. I kind of got a little infusion here. Okay, start off like we made mention, I think, on last week about the different, there are four gospel writers and only one gospel. And so John really talks about a divine God.
Uh-huh.
So go back into the book of St. John when he is talking about the after the baptism, next day John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, that he should be manifest to Israel.
Yep.
Therefore am I come baptizing with water."
And so that is the manifestation of the flesh.
Yes.
This is in the same vein as in 1 Timothy 3:16,
yes.
God, greater is the mystery of God than his God, was manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
So there was a manifestation,
yes,
in the flesh, and
mm-hmm.
that is speaking of that manifestation. But what I want to show is that Jesus Christ not only manifested in the flesh, because we don't worship Jesus Christ after the flesh any longer. We worship Jesus Christ after the Spirit. And he says, "I will manifest myself to him." This is a future tense promise.
Yes.
This has not happened yet. He said, "I will manifest myself."
Yes.
But he has already been manifested in the flesh at
right.
this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he still has to manifest himself or reveal himself unto those that love him and those that keep his commandments. And so how is he going to do this? This is through the Spirit.
Yes.
As we keep on reading, it says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" How are you going to do this, Lord? You've already manifested yourself in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We will be housed in him. How are we going to be housed in him? "He that loveth me not and keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost,"
mm-hmm.
this is the manifestation that Jesus is talking about. This is how he will manifest unto those that love him and keepeth his sayings, is that he will come unto him by the Comforter or the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
this is the manifestation he's talking about.
Yes.
So the manifestation is not just in the flesh, but it is in the spirit also.
Yes.
He manifested in the spirit. To, like I said, the word manifest means to reveal or to make known.
Yes.
When he revealed himself unto Abraham, he was known as the El Shaddai God. This is how he revealed himself unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when he revealed himself to Moses, he said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not know me as the I am that I am. They did not know me as the Yahweh. They only knew me as the God, Almighty God. But I am now a covenant God with Israel, and I will make my covenant with them according when I give you the law, Moses, when you bring them out of bondage, because that was according to the promise. But I was not known unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the Ekye Asher Ekye. I was not known unto them as the Yahweh God. But I am manifesting myself unto you in a burning bush with a fire that was not consuming the bush, yet it was a consuming fire. This is a spiritual manifestation.
Yeah.
He manifested himself unto Manoah, Samson's father, as the angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
And Manoah asked him, he said, what is thy name that I may know and worship thee? He said, how is it that you ask for my name and it is a secret?
Yeah.
He manifested himself revealed himself up into a certain point unto Manoah. He revealed himself unto Daniel. He revealed himself unto Isaiah. But it was only to a certain point and only in certain areas that he revealed himself unto his prophets. The Spirit came upon them and came off of them.
Yeah.
Those are manifestations unto them. And we now have a manifestation within us, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Let's also, to back that scripture up, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, because every scripture has to have a scripture to back it up, to support. That's called right division.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, we'll start off at the first verse. This is talking about spiritual gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is talking to, we've talked through 1 Corinthians before. This is talking to a church that has been filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody that he is writing to has been filled with the Holy Ghost already, and they have gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Spiritual endowments that God gave unto those that received his promise. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
This is the only way that you will get the revelation of who Jesus is by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences in administrations, but it's still the same Lord, still the same Spirit. And there are diversities of operations, but it is all the same God, all the same Lord, all the same Spirit that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, this is not a physical manifestation, but it is a spiritual manifestation.
Yeah.
The word manifestation is comes from the same root word as manifest. They're the same a root word, which means to bring forth or to reveal or to make known or to shine.
Yeah.
It's the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That every man may have a different gift, but it is still a manifestation of the Spirit inside of them.
Yeah.
That's profiting them. So there are spiritual manifestations. In fact, the first manifestation that we read in the Bible is in Genesis, the first chapter.
Yeah.
It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the first thing that God spoke, he said, let there be light. He didn't create the light. He was the light.
Yeah.
Because we read that in the Gospel of John that Jesus Christ was that light. This is the same light that was in the beginning. He said, let there be, and it was. He just manifested himself unto the world. He manifested himself unto the earth because it was without form and void. It was and darkness was on the face of the deep. So this was the first manifestation, and it wasn't a physical manifestation. It was a spiritual manifestation because God was not manifest in the flesh until he came through the womb of Mary and was born after his time being carried in the womb and circumcised on the eighth day. That's the manifestation of the flesh, but he was first created. He was the beginning of the creation of God.
Yeah.
The Son of God was the office of the Son of God. And he was that light that shined forth. He said, just let me be.
Yeah.
He didn't say, let me create the light. Let me make the light. Let me be.
Yeah.
And he was.
Yeah.
And it was good. This was what he manifested himself. And then he progressed from there and began to create, separate, and make lights in the sky and the firmament.
Right.
So we have to know that there are spiritual manifestations, and there are physical manifestations. And when I speak of there is only one spirit that manifested himself in three specific ways, is three offices that was manifested, although there were different appearances and different revealings within those offices, because like I said, he revealed himself as El Shaddai to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, revealed himself as Elohim to Adam, revealed himself as Yahweh to Moses. This is all working in fatherhood, but as different appearances of the spiritual manifestation of fatherhood. It's the same spirit manifesting himself or revealing himself in different ways, and he revealed himself in the flesh, manifested himself in the flesh in the body of Jesus Christ. But that body was crucified, it died, was buried, was resurrected, and glorified. It is no longer a physical body, it is a spiritual body, and he is now manifesting himself inside of us who have his spirit, who are possessors of that spirit. Is the same spirit that was inside of him. All the fullness of the spirit was inside of him, but now we have a portion of the spirit, and he never yet ceased to be that which he was. I am that I am. So God can be all that he wants to be, all that he chooses to be, yet never ceases to be that which he was, and can still be that which he wants to be at any time that he chooses to be.
Yes, yes.
That is how bad my God is.
Yes, that's why he said, I'm God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me.
None like
me. Declaring the end from the beginning.
This is a God that we can't fully comprehend all that he does, because his thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. He is able to do things that we are not able to do, because we are temporal creatures. We are creatures that have a beginning and an ending while we are on this earth. But he is an eternal being.
Yeah.
He is an eternal God that was before time, and he will be after time. He is that which is called the Ancient of Days, that which is before days, or that which is before time. He is an eternal God that created time and worketh within time, but he is not constrained by time, and because he can take himself in and out of time, in and out of eternity, as he wishes, and he will take us into eternity at the appointed time.
Yeah.
So this is the God that we serve. It is not three persons, it is not three gods, not three gods and or three persons and one God, but it is one God manifested himself as one person. That person was Jesus Christ. That spirit that was in Jesus Christ is the Spirit of the Father. That Spirit that was in Jesus Christ is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. That Spirit that is in Jesus, that was in Jesus Christ, is the Spirit of the Son. There's all one Spirit that manifested Himself in three ways. That is how I use the term manifestation. That is how I use the term manifest. That is how I use the term manifested. That is not talking about three different persons that have revealed themselves, but it is one Spirit that has revealed Himself in three main offices. That is what I am referring to when I speak of a manifestation. So I hope this has answered the brother's question. I don't know if he's listening today or if he'll listen on demand, which is an option. If you do want to catch this broadcast at another time, you can catch this on demand through Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I feel that I've answered that question thoroughly. We will move on to Isaiah, and we want to go through a few chapters in Isaiah. Now the whole book of Isaiah, there are many references unto the Messiah. It could actually be considered as almost as a gospel, because it tells much of the story of Jesus Christ within these 66 chapters. And much of the apostles, they didn't have New Testament scriptures to refer to. They referred to the Old Testament scriptures. And many of the scriptures that they refer to are prophecies that are spoken of by Isaiah. Matthew speaks of Isaiah 7 and 14 talking about Emmanuel, God, and he says, which is interpreted, God with us. God will dwell with us, and not only will he dwell with us, he's going to dwell in us. This is Matthew 7 and 14, Isaiah 7 and 14,
yeah.
Isaiah 9 and 6 talks about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the government shall rest upon his
shoulders, right.
So, this is what is this is another reference to Jesus Christ, and talking about him being born as a child, given as a son, and then talking about his kingdom when the government or the powers that be shall rest upon his shoulders, or he will bear all of the responsibilities of ruling in his millennial kingdom.
Yeah.
There are other references to the Messiah coming in Isaiah 53. That is the gospel of or speaking of the crucifixion of the Christ and how he's bruised for our iniquities, carry our chastisements.
With his stripes we're healed.
With his stripes we are healed, and then talking about we are led as sheep to the slaughter. This is all referring to the crucifixion of our Lord. But what we want to focus on right now, I believe, and speaking of our subject, the Godhead, we have to look at the prophecies in Isaiah. This is the Lord speaking directly to Isaiah. He's speaking unto him starting at the 40th chapter when he talks about my messenger. We talked about the messenger being John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. And how did he prepare the way for the Lord? John the Baptist came and began his ministry. And during his ministry, he baptized the Lord in the River Jordan. And this was not to remit sins, but rather to fulfill all righteousness. So this is what this is referring to. But we want to skip forward into the 43rd chapter and go on through the 46th chapter and talk about these prophecies that the Lord is speaking unto Isaiah and what exactly he is telling him. And if he is telling him these things, it has to be that he was in Jesus Christ and that this is Jesus Christ speaking right here, because these things that Jesus Christ fulfilled or will fulfill. He says now in 43, starting in verse number, I believe it's verse number 23. Well, we can go up further. In verse number 14, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer." Now, right off the bat right there, that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He came to redeem us.
Yes.
He purchased us with his own blood, or redeemed us with his own blood.
You can go to verse 11, too.
Skipping on up to verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior.
Yeah.
Who's our Savior? We all say it, raise our right hand,
and
say our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. Let's look at him being our Redeemer in Colossians 1 in 14, well, 1 in 1 and 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, the dear Son is the subject, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption in the blood of the Son.
Yes.
He is our Redeemer. The Holy One of Israel, going back to Isaiah 43, "For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cries in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King." Jesus Christ is the King of Kings.
Yes.
"Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Yeah.
This is talking about the new birth experiences. This is what he was coming to do. Skipping on down, it is the skipping on down. Verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. If you recall, I believe that's in the Gospels. I believe it's Mark, where in second chapter of Mark. It's also in, I believe, in Matthew and Luke, when he talks about the man that came to him that was sick of the palsy, and his friends let him down through the roof of the house, and Jesus told him, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they were mad. They said, "Why you speak these blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven thee,
mm-hmm.
or I say, arise and take up thy bed and walk.
But
ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," or he has the power to remember not the sins, remember not the former things, but he shall do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he is talking about right here. Now, let me clarify that. Let me just or qualify that. He said, "I will do a new thing." God is not doing a new thing in this day. The new thing that he started was on the day of Pentecost when he poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. And that same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost is still happening in this earth today. He still has the power to forgive sins through water, through repentance, water baptism in his name, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is how he did a new thing. We hear a lot of times in this day that these prophets and prophetesses are saying that God is getting ready to do a new thing. God is going to do a new thing in your life. This is not what he is talking about.
No.
He's talking about establishing a new order of ministry.
Yeah.
And that is the new thing that he was getting ready to start. So all these people that are talking about God is getting ready to do a new thing don't know their scriptures properly.
No, they're talking about some money or something.
Yeah, they're talking about a gospel of material gain.
Right.
And really, it is a gospel that is able to help nobody.
Right. And I was just thinking how you think there's a lot of people talking in general are talking about God's word. But that would be just like benefits of a company. You can start talking about, I can have this and I can have that and I can have this. So how do you get in? Like most people want to know, okay, are they hiring? So the same way it is with God.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot enjoy God's benefits. The benefits go to those who have been born again.
Amen.
Those that have his name. So it's important to be born again so you can be a recipient of the benefits.
Amen, amen. I was trying to look up a scripture real quick.
Which one is it?
That he created all things by things by him all things were created. I think that's Philippians, the first chapter.
Oh yeah.
But looking in Isaiah the 44th chapter, carrying on, it says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb." And that's where I was looking. I believe that's Philippians, the first chapter, where he said all things were created by him and made for him. And
the one right here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, in Colossians, "For by him were all things created,"
yes,
"that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." And
yes,
he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell.
Yeah,
so then that's why we read that scripture, "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily."
Yes, and so we know that all things were created by him and for him.
Yes.
He was also the one that made them. So, this is talking about, we're talking about the Godhead, and it is all the same Spirit that is speaking here. Jesus Christ is that same Spirit that made Israel, that same Spirit that made and created Adam. "Fear not, Jacob, my servant, thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grasses as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall say of himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first,
mm-hmm.
and I am the last. Beside me there is
no God.
I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. Now, again, I speak of anything that is the beginning, there can only be one beginning.
Right.
And anything that has an ending, there can only be one ending. You can't have two endings. You can't have two beginnings. There's only one of each.
Yeah.
So if he says right there in Isaiah 44 that I am the first and I am the last, that means I am the beginning and I am the ending, correct?
Yeah.
So he says, if we turn to Revelation, the first chapter, he says, and from Jesus Christ, the fifth verse, first chapter, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, unto the princes of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, Jesus Christ, and every eye shall see him, and they shall all, they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, or so be it. I am the Alpha and Omega, the what?
Beginning
and the ending, saith the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, let me speak on that really quickly, that term Almighty. Now, I've been in a discussion with a gentleman. He said that Jesus Christ was the mighty God, but he was not the almighty God, that there was a distinction between the two, and that that showed that Jesus Christ was not the almighty God. In Isaiah 9 and 6, it just says that he's the mighty God. But right here in Revelation 1 and 8, that term right there says, I am the almighty.
Yeah.
The Almighty God, that is the same God that was the Almighty God in the Old Testament, is the same God right here saying, I am the Almighty. And skipping on down to verse 17, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. I am the first and the last. That is the same exact statement that was made in Isaiah 44 and 6.
Yeah.
Except here is Jesus Christ talking. Here is God talking. How are they both going to be the first? How are they both going to be the last?
Right.
If they are two separate persons, if they are two separate beings, how are they both saying this? It's because it's the same spirit that was speaking unto Isaiah is the same spirit that is speaking unto John. It's the same God talking.
Yes.
Going back to Isaiah, and who as I shall call and declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. I want to skip on down to, he's talking about these false gods that they have made, that they cannot, let's talk, and he says, he heweth down the cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, chapter 44, verse 14, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees in the forest. He planteth an ash in the rain to nourish it. This is talking about the carpenter. And it shall be for a man to burn, and he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in fire. With part he have eaten flesh. He roasteth a roast and which is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and yea, aha, I'm warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image he followeth down to worshipeth and prayeth unto it, saying, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes, and he cannot see, and their hearts, and they cannot understand. This is talking about men who are under false ministry, false idolatry worship. These men have worshipped the creation rather than the creator. This is the same spirit that is speaking of in Romans, the first chapter, where Paul says they have worshipped the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to skip on down to verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Again, we talked about the Redeemer. We talked about the forgiveness of sins. He talks about him being the Redeemer once again. And going into the 45th chapter, he says in verse number 4, he says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by name, I have surnamed thee, though as thou hast not known me. How they have not known him? Because they have not followed after his ways. They forgot the ways of the Lord, therefore they forgot who God was to them. And that's when they were taken into bondage. That's when they were taken away by their enemies. This is the same type of state that Israel was in after Joshua died, and during the time of the judges, they would forget who God was, and they would worship after the idols and the gods that were in the land, and they would be taken into captivity. But then God would raise up, he would remember them and would raise up a judge to redeem them or to bring them out of bondage, and they would keep going back and forth in this type of mind state. And at the end of that book, it said that every man did according to his own way or what seemeth right to him. This is what Israel was. This is the state that they were in. And this is yet the same state that they're in Isaiah's day.
Right. And then go back to what I was saying, I gave reference to in the first chapter, after John the baptizer baptized Jesus, and he was saying that he should be made manifest to Israel. So back then, when he was manifested in his glory and the works and everything that he was doing, if they hadn't known what the scriptures were saying, they should have knew that he was the Messiah. He was the Christ.
Amen.
That was
Amen.
And so they're blind. The veil is on their heart.
Yes.
Which veil is done away in Christ. So
yes.
They're blind.
Yes.
They're
yes.
Spiritually blind. That's why they go to that wailing wall and weep, looking for him to come. He already came.
Amen. Amen. So we know that God has not forgotten Israel. He revealed himself. He says that he came unto his own and his own received him not. So now, as we keep going, we will still see the same sort of theme that God is the Redeemer, God is the Savior, God is God, and that there is no God like him, no God besides him. Verse number 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that thou may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. He is the Prince of Peace, right? He is the King of Righteousness. He is the one that had the light in him. These are all things that describe Jesus Christ. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. He is the creator. Woe unto them that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioneth, what makest thou, or thy work? He have no hand. We'll skip on down. I want to go to verse number 15. Thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. He hidest thyself, or did not reveal himself unto them. Although he was there, he had to hide himself because he could not bless them or bless Israel, because he gave them a conditional blessing. If thou follow me, I will bless thee. But if you don't follow me, I can't bless thee. And so he had to hide himself due to their transgressions, due to their iniquities. He hideth himself. They shall also be ashamed and confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. I want to go in verse 19. It says, I have spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness.
Yes.
He is the one that spoke righteousness. He is the one that fulfilled righteousness. This is the Lord.
Yes.
I speak righteousness.
Damn he.
I declare the things that are right. That is what Jesus came to do. He came to fulfill the law, declare those things that were right. This is why he came into the temple and chased out the money changers, chased out those that were selling goods within the temple walls to make profit. This is what he came to do. He said, you're supposed to call my house a house of prayer, but thou hast made it a den of thieves.
Mm-hmm.
I declare the things that are right. And what happens when he started declaring all the things that were right? He started to get rejected.
Exactly.
Because he was calling out the sins of the sects of the Pharisees and the sect of the Sadducees and the Herodians. He was calling out all of those sects and were telling them what they were doing was unrighteous and what they were doing was not right, what they were doing was evil, and they did not like that, and they felt that what they were doing was justified. They were justifying it in their own hearts. They were justifying it in their own minds, and they did not want to follow after him. They did not want to be told that they were wrong. But was he still right? Yes, he was.
Yeah, he exposed them.
Verse 21, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. Jesus Christ is the just one. I believe that's Acts, the second chapter, Acts, the third chapter.
Yeah, crucified.
He says in Acts, the third chapter, Peter is preaching unto those in the temple. And verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Jesus Christ is the just. He is a just God, and he is the Savior. there is none beside me. So how is it that you can have the Lord God, Jehovah, be the Savior? He says, there's none beside me, and we say that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Because not only did he save Israel, he was only speaking to Israel right here, but he didn't just save Israel, he saved the Gentiles also, because
they
were sheep that were not of the fold that he had to bring in.
Yeah.
There were those that were far off that he had to bring nigh through the blood. He knocked down that partition that divided Jew from Gentile. There is no Jew or Gentile within Christ, so we have to understand that although he was speaking to Israel right there, because that's who the prophets were sent to, this is God was thinking in the big picture that he was going to be a savior of not only the Jews, but to the Gentiles also, and all of mankind. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. I'll read those words again unto you, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Again, this is God talking.
Yeah.
This is God talking. Let's pick it up again in, is that Colossians again that Paul, is that Colossians or Philippians? Is Philippians, the second chapter.
I thought you was talking about.
No, the Philippians, the second chapter. It says in Philippians 2 and 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that every knee is going to bow and every tongue shall swear to God, but now every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess unto Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know that this is still the same God speaking here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same revelation talking, and Jesus Christ himself said that when they come unto him in the day of judgment, in Matthew the 7th chapter, it says, you might read that for me, Elder Cannon.
Yeah, Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? I'll profess unto them, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Amen.
So he said me. He didn't say many will say unto God. He said many will say unto me, because he's speaking at his divinity right here. He is the king.
Yes.
When he's writing here to the Jews.
Yes.
Matthew, they look at him in light as the king of the Jews.
Amen. So now, again, that's just another proof that this is God talking and that Jesus Christ is. Very quickly, let's close up. We're running out of time. 46 and 8, it says, remember this and show yourselves men, bring it again to the mind of the transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure.
Yes.
This is Jesus Christ. Old, he was, when he said unto the Jews that before Abraham was, I am.
Yes.
This is the same God that was speaking in that day, speaking to Isaiah, and this is God. There is only one God in the Godhead, one person in the Godhead, and that is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.